We have been through and seen many Good Fridays. There are days in our lives when our hearts are breaking. Our spirits are weary. We have known fear. We have known pain and sickness. We have known rejection. We have felt alone, even abandoned. We have seen Good Fridays all around us, when darkness had its day, the innocent dying, wars that destroy lives, refugees who spend years in camps, poverty and neglect in our own city, poverty and hunger in places all over the world. I could go on. I'm sure you have thoughts in your mind of the Good Fridays you've seen. If we are real about what we've been through and what we see around us, Jesus' Good Friday means a lot. We look to Jesus for our hope, and we find him reaching out to us from the cross, drawing us and the whole world to himself. This Good Friday service gives us an opportunity to be in community, and to be with Jesus in his suffering and death, and to learn from him that we are not alone. We do not come to our Good Fridays without hope, but we have our hope in the one who walked the way before us so that he could be with us. Faith that dares to let Good Friday in, faith that looks into the darkness with even a little bit of hope for new life, such faith will not disappoint, will not let us down, is strong. Good Friday? I was asked this week, why is it good? It is good because Jesus gave everything for us. It's good for us. Such great love. And we want to respond with love. We're here tonight to do that. We long to be the people God calls us to be for God and for others. We want to respond with this love that we've seen from Jesus. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest and the founder of the director for the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico, writing of Good Friday, states, Jesus dies for us, not in the sense of in place of us, but in solidarity with. Rohr goes on, the first is merely a heavenly transaction of sorts. The second is a transformation of our very soul and the trajectory of history. That Jesus dies in solidarity with us. Many people stay away from Good Friday. I think they stay away because they think we're going to focus on their sins and sin in general. Such a focus is part of this service, but it is not the most important part. Some stay away because it's just terrible. It's just so sad. It just breaks your heart hearing that passion read. It's hard. All its starkness, its directness. But that is not the end. And this day, even in the darkness, proclaims that that is not the end. Some stay away because something bad has happened in their lives. So how can God be real or loving, they ask. They ask, why didn't God do anything to prevent my child from dying my spouse, the one I love? Why didn't God do anything to prevent the disaster? And they don't have an answer. There aren't really great answers in those moments, right? There's only silence and compassion for those who suffer and hurt. But as we're here to think theologically tonight, we can say that there are some ways we can attempt to answer that outside of the immediate trauma. That God has done and been with us, what God has done in entering human life, experiencing our lives, this is the answer to what has God done. God, through Christ, through Jesus and his humanity and his divinity, experiencing suffering and death so as to be with us in those moments, and in the end, to transform those moments. Jesus dies in solidarity with us. That word, solidarity, it makes me think of the closest community or friendship possible, one who identifies so completely with our situation. Solidarity is defined as unity or agreement of feeling or action, especially among individuals with a common interest, mutual support within a group. Unity or agreement of feeling or action. Jesus dies in solidarity with us, knowing how we feel and feeling it himself. He dies in solidarity with us, sharing our common interest, which is God's interest, that all have fullness of life, now and forever. Another way to look at what solidarity can mean in the context of Good Friday was brought to my attention through our Lenten program. Christopher Richardson's presentation on the crucifixion was snowed out, but he shared his research with me. Karen Carlo, in her 2009 PhD dissertation entitled "The Cross and the Women of Galilee, A Feminist Theology of Salvation," critiques traditional substitutionary atonement theology of the cross and notes that every variation of that idea, that Jesus died in our place because God, his Father, demanded death because we and humanity were so sinful, she makes the point others have made that this glorifies violence. She writes, as an alternative, if the cross were construed instead as the locus of lamentation and protest, resurrection is the restored life and renewed hope that comes through such process, that process of lamentation and protest. Often hard won, a vision that comes through bitter tears, she's going on, but it is real and does happen. This is what resurrection looks like, the ongoing reality of life renewed and restored despite everything that opposes it. A theology of redemptive suffering that leaves Mary and the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of Jesus, passive at the cross, she along with all who loved him, passive there, helpless in the face of his suffering. That's not anything that our author, that Carlo, believes is helpful for her spirituality, for others. On the other hand, a theology of redemptive lamentation puts Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with all of us, in an active space, crying out not only in pain, but also in protest of yet another unjust death, moving toward a more just world. No longer the object of a cosmic drama, we become the subjects of our own redemptive story. We become subjects. We are free to see others as subjects as well. This theology of the cross that focuses on lamentation in community, women gathered at the foot of the cross, speaks to us, our church, and as people who live in our world today. Even though the Episcopal Church looks pretty hierarchical in our organization, and we are in a number of ways, the true character and the true heart of our church, of our life together, is much better described and understood in terms of relationships in community. Everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. In our lamentation together in community, we, like the women who were with Jesus, become part of God's story of redemption and resurrection. We see the reign of God among us, even in our pain. The cross as the locus of lamentation and protest, we've seen that a lot recently in our nation. Almost every time a person or a group is hurt by systems that perpetuate sexism, racism, violence, systems that exclude, systems that discount, when people are threatened with deportation, when women are the object of abuse, when children die in our schools and in our streets from gun violence, we gather at the foot of the cross and lament and protest. And in those gatherings, we see new life. We see hope. We find we are not alone. There are others there with us at the foot of the cross, and Jesus is there, having gone through his cross. He is there with us. And we all hold each other, and we find hope in our common lamentation and protest. We see God with us. We see the reign of God breaking through sin and death. Amen.